Colossians chapter 3.
I shall have to wear my glasses, otherwise I can't see a thing. Well, I can see you a lot, but I can't see anything else. Right, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Now, I've got to watch the time. Matt says, watch the time. I want you done by 2:15. So, okay. No pressure. If you read nothing else in the Bible but the four books of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians and Colossians, you wouldn't have spent your life wasted. They are four of the most powerful and exciting books in the New Testament. That's not to decry the rest of it, don't get me wrong. Read all 66, it's a brilliant book. You know, go from Genesis to Revelation. It's amazing, the stuff that's in there. But you could call it Generation to Revolution, I suppose, if you wanted the other version of it. But there are four of the most powerful letters that Paul writes to these churches. And they're so relevant for you and me sitting here today, because what I've got to say and what's already been said, we've worshipped this morning. We've said it all in the worship. So I'm sitting there thinking, why am I here? You know, you've said a lot of it for me this morning, which is wonderful. So if we run through the slides then, please. So Colossians chapter 3, let's go to the next slide. So previously, we've looked at chapter 1, which should be the next slide. There you go. Which the key thing there is the supremacy of Christ. If you were to go to chapter 1 and verse 29... You see, it talks about, you know, this, the whole point of the chapter is the supremacy of Christ. And then Paul talks about the fact, to this end I labour, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So all that Jesus is in you. Yes? And it's powerfully at work in you. I'm still waiting. No, not for you. Sometimes I sit here. And you see these things, thinking, I want this for me. I want him to be powerfully working through me. I'm getting discontent with where I am, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. Maybe should I tell you now? I'll tell you now, a bit relevant bit. Sometimes it's easy to sit there and you think, oh, these people who stand at the front have cracked it. No, we haven't. I'm currently working through. The Lord's working on, keeps reminding me. And when I'm out on the bike, as I was with Andy yesterday, which was really nice. Thanks, Andy. I enjoyed that. We our paths just crossed. The next thing I know, Andy's coming cycling up behind me down Kingsway, and he's going, Martin! And I'm like thinking, am I going that fast? And he said, I said, where are you going? He said, well, I'm going to Hucknall. And I said, well, I'm going up through Eastwood. Underwood, that way, you say. And he said, well, do you mind if I join? He said, no. And I'm thinking, well, it's an odd way to go where I'm going to get to Hucknall, but if you want to come that way. And in the end, we came all the way back through Selston, didn't we? You know, up and down the hills and whatever, up Churchill and back. And it was great. But sometimes when I'm out on my own, the Lord keeps bringing back to my mind, Psalm 51 and verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You see, that's the thing when you're a Christian, the Lord keeps stirring things up in your life. He won't let you stay where you are. He wants to renew you and 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 move you on from where you are. And then the other thing I'm working through, which you'll know well, is Psalm 139. And there's a bit at the end of that. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And I'm out riding my bike and this is going through my head thinking, how are you going to do this? And I don't know how he's going to do it. But he's still working in me. So the aim of the whole point of what I'm going to say this morning is that, you know, he's at work in us. He's at work in all of us. Let's go to the next chapter. So the next review. Don put it very succinctly last week about do not be deceived. Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus your Lord, continue to live in him, it goes on. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Strengthened in the faith you were taught. Hold on to how you were brought up as a Christian and keep building on it. So Don was right, you know, don't be deceived. My message this morning is dead simple. If we go on again. Yes. This week, Colossians chapter 3. Let's read it together and I'll give you the highlights. Because I was really excited. Because there's so much in here that I've only got 20 minutes now to get through it all. And I've digressed already, but it's relevant. Did it make sense? Yes, good, that's all right. Reading from verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Be encouraged. Yes? you're going to appear with it. If you've been born again, if you've been filled with the Spirit, if you're moving on with the Lord, you are going to appear with him in glory. Yes? You know, it's good news, you know. You haven't got to stand at the station waiting. You've got your ticket booked. Yes? Excited? Be encouraged, you know. We've got a home to go to. You with me? Don't say thinking, shall I get there, shall I get there? If you're born again, you're filled with the Spirit, you're following the Lord, where are you going to go? Exactly. Do you know? So, it goes on. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, if only it was that easy. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. And you're looking at each other now, aren't you, thinking, who's that, who's that, who's that? Is that me? Is it you? Might be you, might, you know, you don't know. But you write these things, and I think, what were they like in Colossians? No different to us. You know, we struggle with all sorts of things, don't we? Anyway, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. This morning I was going to wear a pink shirt. I promised my wife I was going to wear this pink shirt, same as this, but pink. And we have this argument that I've already got a pink shirt. And I said, no, that's sort of like a burgundy-ish cerise colour. And she said, well, it's pink. I said, no, that's more pink than that one. But anyway. So I'd ironed it, ready to wear it this morning. And we'd bought four from Asda. They were on offer. They were going cheap. It's like, great, you know, four shirts for the price of one. Bonus. So I'm putting this shirt on. I'm putting it on my arms. I'm thinking, either I've got muscles or these sleeves are a bit tight. And I put it on and this thing, and I'm like trying to... I can't fasten the thing. I'm thinking, I know cycling has taken weight off. I can't have put weight on since yesterday. It's ridiculous. So I took it off. Small. I'm thinking, how am I going to fit in this? So I've had to wear this one instead. But that, the point of that is, you think, well, that's a nice little story. But look at it, you see. The whole point about being in Christ is, you wear something that fits. Jesus fits. So it doesn't matter how tall, wide, fat, thin you are, Jesus fits. So he fits us, he fits all of Kirby, he fits all of Sutton, he fits wherever you live. Everybody, Jesus fits. He's a one size that fits everybody. Which is good news, because I've had to give the shirt away to Simon, because he's thinner than me. So if you see Simon in a pink shirt, you'll know where it came from. So, moving on. Therefore, as God's chosen people... Oh, isn't that wonderful? You're chosen! I chose Susan years ago, and I've never regretted that decision. You chose each other and never regretted the decision, did you? Well, not yet, yeah. early days. You know? It's always that nervous bit, you know. Anybody knows any reasons why these persons should not be joined in holy matrimony together, you ought to declare it. And it's the longest pause in history. You think it's gone on for hours, and you're just waiting here. Hope nobody stands up and says anything. Ooh. You know, it's terrifying. Anyway, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. And this is now the lovely bit. He gives you all the negatives, and then he says, look at this. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Oh, that we could. Oh, there are days, aren't there? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow. That's a challenge. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I won't labour that one because you know the truth of it. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them, or they might belt you around the ear hole. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. That's a timely warning. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. I'm just going to pinch the beginning of chapter 4. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. There's so much in there. And I've got 17 minutes. Right, okay, let's crack on. Let's go. Okay, key thing. Let's live it right. Let's live right. That's the theme of it. I could sit down now and say, because it's all there, isn't it? It's telling us, this is how you used to live, but in Christ, this is how you now live. And that's the challenge each day. Next bit, Tamsin. Verse 3:10 is, if you like, a key verse to pinch it all on. Having put on the new self, having put on your pink shirt that doesn't fit, put on Jesus instead, because he does, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. We are being remade new day after day after day. You don't realize it sometimes, do you? But you're being renewed day after day. Every time you pray, read the Bible, you spend time with the Lord, you are being renewed day by day by day. Is that good news? It's good, isn't it? It's exciting stuff. Next bit, please, Tamsin. So, and this is the high point of the letter. So I was dead chuffed when I saw I got chapter 3. I thought, yes, it's all building to this. So you get the importance of Jesus. You get the fact of not being deceived. This is how you're supposed to live. And then you get to this bit. And it paraphrases it. Mine says, rules for holy living. And it tells us this is how in Christ we're supposed to be. Not just as an individual, but as a group of people. You know, and you look around here and you think, you want me to love these people? What a motley bunch. But that's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, if you can put up with me, you can put up with anybody. I mean, Susan's done it for more years than we care to imagine. You know, so there must be something in me that's lovable, I hope. Anyway, going on. Let's go on to the next bit. So what I'm doing is building on what's gone before in the other chapters. Go on, Tamsin. Jesus is our foundation. You can build on nothing else. If Jesus is not your foundation, you need to make him your foundation. Because he is the basis for your life, and whatever comes, he will see you through. He is the rock that will not shift. You know, Larry Norman said, he's the rock that doesn't roll. You know, I was listening to it the other day thinking, quality music this. Good old fashioned Christian music. We're free in Christ. We're not free to please ourselves. We are free to please him. It's our delight. A husband's joy is to please his... We're talking marriage. A husband's joy is to please his wife. As long as she's happy, the world is great. When she's unhappy, oh dear, it's trouble. Just making up with these things, all right? But, you know, I love to make Susan happy. I love to bless her. Because she's my soulmate. She's my partner. She's my friend. And I want to please the Lord. Because it says, you know, husbands love your wife. In Ephesians, husband loves your wife as Jesus loved the church. Tall order. But it's the same thing, isn't it? You know, you want to please the Lord. I want to live for him every day. And to live differently for all to see. That's the thing. This tells us how we're supposed to live differently. As God's chosen people, clothe yourself. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. Forgive each other. It's a tall order. But it's doable. Why is it doable? Because who lives in us? Christ lives in us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within us that helps us to live like that. Yeah? Is it good so far? Making sense? Good. Okay, let's crack on then, Tamsin. This next one should be a fairly busy slide. There's a lot in this. Key messages. Just reminds me of the key stage 3. There are so many things. I literally just picked on a few of them. Verse 2. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You know. Put to death. Oh. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. There are things you have to let go as a Christian because he offers you so much more. You know, how you used to, if you look back at how you used to live and how you live now, which would you rather have? Exactly, yeah. I'd rather have what I am now than what I was. You know, sometimes with my kids, they say, well, what did you used to be like before you were a Christian? I said, you wouldn't have liked me. Susan's admitted to me, haven't you, several times, that, you know, I wouldn't have, if that's how you were, I wouldn't have liked you. I wouldn't have married you. It's the difference Jesus makes in our lives. And then we put on the new self. We're back to the pink shirt again. All right, let's go on to the next one. That I love therefore, because therefore means it's what's gone before. Therefore, as God's holy chosen people, he says, put to death these things. Having put them to death, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with these things. Therefores are always important. Next bit. Forgive. Oh yes, tall order, but it's doable. If you look back and think of the people you have forgiven, they might not have forgiven you, but you've let them go. You've forgiven them and said, Lord, I forgive them. Even though I might not be able to see them, to say to them, I'm sorry and I forgive you, we've forgiven them in the Lord and he'll do the rest of it. And a day may come when you might meet him. You never know. Let's go on. And be thankful. Always be thankful. Every day we wake up, Susan's grandma used to wake up every day and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And she was in her 70s. And every night she used to go to sleep and say, thank you, Lord, for another day. But that was her first two prayers. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the day I've had. Grateful for whatever happened and for each day that she lived. Next one. And then live right. Verses 18 onwards. And there's a couple of things I just want to put out of this bit. Because look at the different things that are in there. Wives and husbands, children, okay, fathers. But there's also this other bit about slaves and masters. And initially you think, that doesn't apply. But it does. I have a master. He's my boss at work. And it tells me here that he's got to provide what is right and fair. But it also says to me about, as a slave, obey your earthly master in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Often we don't think the Bible talks to us about how our work and our work situations and where we are. But there's a bit that I would say does work for us. Because everybody has a master. Somewhere you've got a boss that you have to look after, you know, that you work for and who pays you, and it's his job to do what is right, but it's also your job to serve him, because it talks about later on, verse 24, yes, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. You know, I think, well, my boss is horrible. Well, love him and forgive him for being horrible, because that's what Jesus would have done. He's there for a reason. You might not like him, but Jesus says, go love him, go and do all the things that he wants and do it well. Does that make sense? You know, it's tough sometimes. I've had some tough people to work for in education, and they've said some horrible things. But at the end of it, I've had to go back and say, Lord, give me the grace each day. And each time I have to have a meeting with this guy, give me the grace to go in his office and to just be nice to him and to be kind and loving. Now, whether or not it's worked, I don't know. I shan't be in a position ever to ask him, but there you go. All right. Where are we? Let's move on to the next bit. 9 minutes to go. The word for you today, I've pinched this from Bob Gass. So fans of it on UCB, the word for you today is... I'm not perfect. Jesus hasn't finished with me yet. I know it's an old phrase, and you think, yeah, well, at your age, you will come up with old phrases, won't you? But it's still relevant, isn't it? I'm not perfect. I look at myself in a mirror, and I see all my faults every day when I'm having a shave. Sometimes I miss. Oh, sorry. He hasn't finished with me yet. He won't have finished with you until you are no longer here, and you're in glory with him, and you're in heaven with him. And then you'll be perfect. That's what the Bible promises, isn't it? Cheer up, Beth. It's soon be Friday. Don't worry, Doc. It's good. But it's important that we grasp the fact that we are an ongoing process. We are an ongoing piece of work. Jesus is working in us each day. It's all ongoing. Yeah? 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 So you're an ongoing piece of work. You're not perfect. I'm not, anyway. Moving on. Next bit. So. And what's our goal? This is our goal coming out of it. Two bits. One you'll know well. We'll start backwards. We'll go to 1 Peter 2. And then we'll go to the well-known bit in Matthew 5. These two weren't in the bits I prepared over coffee. But they were two bits that came this morning. Because the whole point of this chapter is to say, live how Jesus wants you to live. Yeah? Makes sense? It's so important. That's the key thing. We could take it to bits and do loads of it, but I've only got 7 minutes left. 1 Peter 2. Right. Dear friends, verse 11. I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. That's awesome, isn't it? you're living in such a way that people are going to say, I'm so grateful those people are here. Thank you, God, for putting these people in my path. That's what it's saying, isn't it? That we're living such a good life that these people, although they accuse us of doing wrong, may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And that's amazing. But then you go to the other bit, and I have to admit, it's a bit that I used to send my kids off to work, off to school with, and I keep coming back to Matthew 5, 13 to 16. And it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's a challenge, isn't it? To say nothing, but to live the life and let people see something of the light of Jesus coming out of each one of us. That they will thank God for the people that we are and that they rub shoulders with us. That's awesome, isn't it? The downside is, we may never know that. You have no idea who you're going to influence, who's going to see that. But the upside is, he gets all the glory for what he's done in us because of how we live around these people. Does that make sense? So the key theme really in all those bits in Colossians is to say, we need to say, Lord, I want to live my life for you. I want to live my life for something that will last forever. That's the theme, isn't it? That's the thing. It's living your life for something that will last forever. What will last forever? The power of Jesus living us. The power of a changed life. I was talking with... I can't remember where it was. I was talking with somebody anyway recently about when my dad died and the effect that Jesus coming into his life had on him, only in 3 weeks while he was alive, but the difference it made, and it was a visible, tangible difference. And people saw that difference. Who did it influence? I have no idea. Who became a Christian through it? I have no idea. But what I do know is it will have had some effect on the people in that hospital because it was incredible the difference it made to him. He could still beat me at cribbage, and I still don't understand cribbage. So if any of you know how to play cribbage, please come and tell me, because I still don't know. But there you go, that's another story. But that's the key thing for it. And so again, like I said to start with, there are things that the Lord deals in all of our lives. And Molly will say the same thing. You know, we will stand up here and think, Molly's, you know, we're sort of senior leader of the church and has cracked it all. And she'll say, no, I haven't. You know? You sometimes look like you've cracked it, but there are days where, you know. And Matt and Claire are the same. You know, we're all on a steep learning curve, aren't we? You know, I mean, I've been a Christian for more years than I care to remember, but I'm still learning. There are still things that I know the Lord needs to work on in my life, which is why I keep cycling around with creating me a pure heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. So when I'm sort of pedaling up the hills, it's, you know, you've got a rhythm to get to. So that's the theme for today. Last bit, Tamsin. That's our goal, to be more like Jesus each day. And some days... you might not feel very like Jesus, to be honest. There's some days where we don't, because we are human. We have our weaknesses, don't we? We have our frailties. But that's our goal each day, is to be more and more like Jesus. So, last slide. What we've got to look forward to next week, Colossians 4. Yeah. Looking forward to Colossians 4 with Zoe. So, in conclusion, I don't think there's anything after that. No, there's just a blank. Go back, I would say to you, of all the three talks that we've had so far, it's been the third one, go back, read through it, meditate on it, let the voice of Paul, and when he wrote to the Colossians, let that voice speak to you again. Just sit down, and don't, you know, you could read it at a pace and think, I'm going to read all four of them, I'm going to read them in the next 20 minutes. Let it soak in. It warns you there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's like the seeds in my garden. I planted things and I have things that grew and we ate some of them and it was wonderful. And I just walked down the veg plot and think, this is great, I'm loving this. This stuff's growing. I've grown this from a seed. It's wonderful. Think about the buzz you get from letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I got a buzz from just watching a few seeds grow and little flowers coming out. Ooh, look at this. Wonderful. But the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. Let it soak in. And like I said, if you're still struggling, saying, where do I start reading the Bible from? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, go through those four letters. There's so much in there to just enrich your life, to help you, to strengthen you, to guide you on. So bless you all. Amen.